Yeah, bye.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of WA This Week. And as has been our current practice, it's live. So at the end, please send in your questions. Really enjoy answering those questions. Look, first of all, it's just happened, the solar eclipse. How exciting. And, you know, for a lot of people, perhaps not a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, but nearly so, very infrequent that we have that. And, of course, those lucky 20,000 or so people that could get up to Exmouth managed to see the full eclipse. But even here in Perth, it was around 80%. Look, you know, it's because it is a unique opportunity. I managed to procure about 50 sets of glasses. I made sure they were certified. I will say I was a bit apprehensive about handing out glasses if you don't know where they come from. But I got some certified ones and was able to hand those out to constituents in Cottesloe. And, yeah, they were pretty thrilled to get those. And, in fact, outside my office, we had a small group of us observing the eclipse, which was good fun. So a great thing, you know, great opportunity to get tourists and others into the state and help the economy, but just a bit of fun, I think, for everyone to see that eclipse. Look, you know, I think we go from the sublime to the ridiculous. Here we have Mark McGowan heading off to China, and as I've said before, you know, it's important that the Premier does visit and interact respectfully with our major trading partners. It's, you know, and China is very important to our, not only Western Australia's economy, but to Australia's economy. But I think the Premier has some delusions of grandeur. You know, he clearly sees himself as some, you know, international statesman, free to make whatever comments he likes on international matters. And, you know, I think if we go to a comment that Andrew Hastie made, and I'm going to refer to this in a little bit more detail, Andrew Hastie simply made the comment that Premier McGowan is out of his depth when it comes to international affairs. And I think that was exemplified by this. And, you know, imagine the Premier of the state going over to China, then making gratuitous comments about a current and an ex-federal parliamentary colleague, insulting comments about those, or one of those colleagues, the current shadow defence minister, and you know he makes these comments apparently off camera, but then his office distributes them. So this is, you know, let's make no mistake, you know, clearly the Premier must have thought that it was clever doing this and somehow ingratiating himself with a foreign government and the hosts of the event he was at, but making, you know, gratuitous, false assertion, insults about that colleague. It's just appalling. This is, you know, that's not a statesman. That is someone who's just used to playing grubby internal Labor Party politics and somehow thinks that should play well on the international stage. You know, Mark McGowan, if he's going to behave like that, he shouldn't go overseas because he does no credit to Australia. But look, he doubled down, you know, in what I think is just appalling behaviour. And imagine making the suggestion, you would have seen in the paper today, he's made the suggestion that there should be a federal cabinet should have a meeting in Beijing. They should meet in Beijing. For goodness sake, why? Why would you want to do that? And then he even doubled down and said every premier should go over and they should have a meeting of every premier in Australia and the prime minister and federal cabinet should meet in Beijing. Why? I mean, I think Mark McGowan has clearly been imbibing in too much rice wine if he thinks that there is any sense whatsoever to that statement. Imagine, have you ever heard of that happening? What possible purpose could there be to do that? Now, apart from the fact with the risk of having all of your leaders of your state and federal government in a foreign country at the same time, you know, hardly a sensible thing to do at any level. So, you know, Mark McGowan should stick to dealing with the big issues in Western Australia. We've got crime out of control. Our classrooms in Western Australia now don't have a fully experienced teacher in every classroom. we see the cost of living crisis is just devastating. Homeless people, we're heading into the depths of winter, and we've got so many rough sleepers, so many homeless people, and so many people that can't afford homes. And we know that the lack of housing is the single biggest handbrake on our economy. You know, instead of Mark McGowan going over and embarrassing the state and embarrassing Australia overseas, he should come back to Western Australia and focus on the issues here, if that's the way he's going to behave. Now, look, one area I just want to make a brief comment on was The Voice. I've spoken about that before, and I've made it clear that I don't support the referendum that the federal government have put forward in totality. I do think that constitutional recognition of Aboriginal people as the first peoples of Australia is simply a statement of fact, then that's a proper thing to do. But the idea that you would constitutionally enshrine one group of Australians as separate from the rest, I don't know how anyone who believes in the egalitarian Australian spirit can believe that. But look, I understand. I think I know where people are coming from. I think most people, in whatever position they take in this, are coming from a good position. One of the things that proponents of the Voice referendum said at the start, we had a number of senior people coming out, including the Prime Minister, and that was, let's have a respectful debate. But what did we see? The fact is that no campaign, as it's been done, has been done in a very respectful way. But what we've seen from the pro-referendum group is nothing but the most denigrating insult, offensive insults to anyone who doesn't agree with their proposition. I agree with the concept of having a respectful debate, but it isn't only respectful if you agree with the Federal Labor Party on this. It's that all sides of this debate should be respected. And as I say, from my point of view, I don't agree that we should have it in the Constitution and effectively forever. Make it clear, you're not talking about something. If you're changing the Constitution, you're doing that for a long time. Having something in the Constitution effectively forever that separates Australia into two groups, Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal. I find, at a personal level, I find that actually an extremely upsetting prospect. I believe in the egalitarian Australian spirit, and that is we all should all be treated equally. We should all have equal opportunities, especially under the Constitution. But look, I'll end there. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the eclipse today, if you had the right gear to do it. Just remember, you can subscribe to the podcast on any of your favourite podcast app. And you can also, obviously, watch live for those of you that are. But if you're looking at the recording, you can look at that on Facebook, Spotify, YouTube, TikTok, by searching Dr. David Hunting. Thank you.
All right. Brett Anthony agrees with you, and he gave you a bit of a promotion. He said, absolutely, absolutely, Senator Honey.
There you go. Maybe my next career.
Alan Davis says, complete waste of time. You never once answered my question about vaccines.
About vaccines. Well, can I tell you, go back through my podcast, because I've said a lot about vaccines, especially through the vaccination period. Look, I'm sorry if I didn't get to every query. I do get a lot of stuff online, and maybe I missed that. But so I'm not quite sure what the question is, but one of the things I think I have said in relation to that, which I think is current now, and that is, let's see a full and open review of the whole response to COVID, including the vaccination program. What worked? What didn't work? What was necessary? What was unnecessary? And let's see that without any political lens. You don't want this of people justifying what they did. Now is the time to say, what, as I said, all of those things, what worked, what didn't work, and so on. And let's have that in a very open and frank way, so that when the next pandemic comes along, which it will, we respond appropriately and we do a better job of responding.
Graham says, what are you going to do about the ongoing destruction of our history and heritage at Karrakatta Cemetery?
Look, there's been some good progress there, which in relation, I'm assuming this is referring to the headstones of service people. And there are some good discussions going on with the RSL over this. So I'm optimistic that common sense is going to prevail here, but Clearly, it's the issue isn't Tibet, but I think there is some promise that we're going to see a bit more sense apply.
All right, now to TikTok, Cabana Ball says Liberal Party need to stop being Labor light and go back to their conservative roots. Boot the lefties.
This is an eternal debate, isn't it, in politics, and that is where do people sit. But look, I'll say one thing very clearly. There's not much point in saying you're a party, and in our case, the Liberal Party, the other major party, if all you do is agree with the current government. And clearly there are fundamental philosophical differences between the left. I mean, the left are collectivist. They believe that the rights of the group, if you like, should supersede the rights of the individual. And on the Liberal side, we believe that the rights of the individual should supersede the rights of the collective, recognising there are times when there is a collective good. So it's not as if it's an extreme sort of, communist versus laissez-faire argument. But, yeah, absolutely, it's very important that we clearly articulate what we stand for. And if we're just saying every time we agree with every Labor proposition, well, what's the point of existing?
Wade Hall says, Cottesloe is a great part of Perth, David, especially Peppermint Grove. What a beautiful place.
Look, really stunning. In my previous life, before I came into politics, I used to get around the world a bit. And when you're young, you think, you love where you live because it's where you grew up. The more I travelled overseas, the more I came to recognise just how beautiful Perth is. And yeah, look, really blessed. And I'm blessed. My family are blessed to live in this part of the world. It is beautiful. And Peppermint Grove is a stunning area. Obviously, sandwiched between the river and the sea. And of course, you've got mostly close access in Peppermint Grove to the river there and some great vantage points. So fully agree with you. Great place.
Now, I don't understand this question, but maybe you will. Someone is asking, why do people eat fish fillet holes?
Well, perhaps I shouldn't say that. There's probably some meme there or something. I don't know, but look, perhaps if you explain the question a little bit more, I'm not quite sure about that one.
Okay. Well, it seems like that's the end of the question.
We're great.
Oh, actually, someone's just saying, laughing and saying, well, damn, so clearly there was some kind of meme to the fish fillet.
Yeah.
All right, well, I got there.
Good on you. Well, thanks very much, everyone, and thanks very much for listening. Look, as I've said a number of times, please share with your colleagues and friends and helps get the message out. Thank you.